Game On.
Camogie.
Now, it is time to chat camogie here on Game On this evening as we look forward to what hopefully will be a classic camogie All-Ireland final on Sunday. 5:15 throw-in in Pro Park. Cork take on Galway. The reigning champions, Cork, looking to retain their title against the Galway champions in 2021. Aoife Murray joins us. Before we get Aoife's thoughts on this big one, let us hear from two of the players who will be featuring on Sunday. Galway's Roisin Black and first, Cork's Laura Hayes.
Yeah, I suppose us and Galway have been definitely big rivals the whole way back. We always love playing each other. It's always a really tough game, very competitive and free-flowing, which is kind of the best games that any player wants to play. So I suppose we know each other well, but coming into the final now, there's a lot to be answered, so we'll see who comes out on top. Yeah, we played Galway twice this year. We played them in the league and we played them in championship already, so they beat us in the league and we beat them in championship, so it's definitely level pegging going in. I'd say the last one is winner takes all.
Yeah, whenever we play Cork, it's really intense games and it really comes down to the wire. We know that Cork are a great team and you know they're going to be raring to go now and to get back-to-back All-Ireland, so we know that it's going to be a really difficult challenge ahead of us, but you know we're going to focus on ourselves and give our best shot as well.
How much will this mean if you can win the All-Ireland?
It'd mean everything, you know, not just for ourselves but our family, for our clubs, for our county, for our management. You know, everyone's worked really hard behind the scenes, so it would mean the world, yeah.
So that was Laura Hayes of Cork and Roisin Black of Galway speaking to Marty Morrissey during the week. Aoife, as I mentioned, this is hopefully going to be a classic. Will this be a free-flowing, entertaining, unbelievable final? Or the big caveat, will this be a bit tetchy? Perhaps at the start, two teams just trying to find each other out.
You'd love to go straight to the classic, right? Wouldn't you? You know, but I think just even looking at how both teams have set up, I suppose, throughout the championship, they are quite similar in the sense they try to pack out the field, have one or two targets up top and switch. So it is hard to overly see that being a classic with a packed kind of middle third, if you want to call it. For Camogie, I think it would be one of the best showcases if Galway and Cork fully went at it Sunday evening. I think it would be the greatest way of selling the game to the public. Certainly both teams have the talent and the ability, but will it be a little bit more tactical potentially? I think for the purists it mightn't be as entertaining. I really hope both teams get the going out there and hurl. But I would worry that it'll be a bit more tactical. It might come to life towards that last quarter. And I think that'll be one of the more interesting ones. For one team, it'll be a classic because they'll win, you know. it'll be a one-sided classic, whether it's by 1 point or 3 points or 10. So yeah, that would be my biggest worry, that it'll be a bit more of a tactical, feeding each other out for 50 minutes of a game.
Yeah, I think actually it's funny you mentioned by 1 point or 3 points or anything. I remember Brian Mullins actually once saying to me in Vincent's in Dublin, but like, it doesn't matter. I was like, this is going to be a classic of previewing so much by 1 point or more. That's all that matters. All that matters is you win. And it doesn't matter what the scoreline is, by 1 point or more. That's all that really it comes down to. And hopefully there won't be nerves at play. But listen, it is a final. It's in Croke Park. Hopefully it's a brilliant crowd. It is going to be a brilliant occasion, a junior and intermediate final beforehand. Course as well, Cork featuring in the intermediate final. Talk to me about the build-up. Obviously, listen, you've plenty of medals, plenty of All-Irelands in your back pocket, but at the start of your career, when you weren't as accustomed to it or weren't as familiar with it, what was the All-Ireland final week like for you, and what will it be like for these players, do you imagine?
Everybody's so different. Like, I loved it, right? Absolutely loved it. And it depends on what part of your life. When I started out, I only just started, finished leaving cert. You know, so like, ignorance is bliss. Like, it was the best bliss you could find, you know. And a lot of us in the group I would have certainly joined the senior panel with had a bit of success with minors, juniors and intermediates. So we had a fair idea. And in many ways, and this sounds super confident and cocky, right? But like, we were like, yeah, like, what else would you be doing? You know, in September, the first week, you would absolutely be getting ready to go up to Dublin on the Saturday, get the train up. So for me, like, I loved it, absolutely loved it. I was one of those people that absolutely loved getting the itinerary for Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Like you knew where you had to be at 2 o'clock on Saturday. You knew what time you were eating dinner at on Saturday night. And, all of a sudden it was the best attended mass on a Sunday morning, right? It's all sitting there like butter wouldn't melt. Like you knew everything. And I loved it. Like I absolutely loved it. And some players didn't. I could see some of my teammates and stressing out, anxious, nervous, not able to sit down, not able to just chat and have the laugh. And I think I was one of those ones that just loved it all. I couldn't understand at times, wrongly, I couldn't understand how people wouldn't be going out with the biggest smile on their face going, this is living. I would say many of those players have been through it so many times now as well. Galway's an established panel. Cork is an established panel, albeit a young one, but they're established. So they'll have their own routines, I look like any past player, if you could live it one more time, you absolutely would do it. But I think one of the biggest privileges that you could have as a sports person is being able to compete at the highest level. We're watching the Olympics, we're in awe of them. And come Sunday afternoon, whether it's a junior, intermediate, or senior, that bus trip to Croke Park is one of the most special times of your life. For me, it was probably one of the most emotional times for me, because you do get a chance to soak it in. You see your friends and your family and supporters. And for me, like that would be, if I could relive one bus journey, it wouldn't be the bus journey afterwards. It was the bus journey to Croke Park. And I think as I said, you have two sets of players who are well used to it at this stage. And all I can do is wish them that. I hope they just take a minute to really appreciate it. Because before you know it, there'll be somebody like me speaking on the radio about days long gone. So look, that's the only thing I would wish for these players. And come Saturday, come Sunday, whatever the result, look, in many ways you can't really control it, Shane, So it's just bring it.
That's amazing. That's actually really fascinating. That's, I suppose, my naivety of never playing sport at the top level, that it's the bus journey up. I would have just assumed that it's the celebrations, it's that relief, it's that outpouring of emotion. Even seeing, say, Kelly Harrington last night, just that unbridled joy that just oozes from your body, and it's just that release of energy.
Yeah, it is. It's such an emotional roller coaster, like the ups and the downs of it. But I think for me, the bus journey to Croke Park was just so special. Like in many ways, it's in a very kind of intimate environment, because you are packed around a group of people, whether the players or the management. You're all on this journey to one particular, I suppose, output. Right, you've no idea what the next couple of hours hold. You could have the greatest game of your life. You could have a shocker. Nobody goes there to have a bad game. So it is a very intimate moment in your sporting life, where all of a sudden, you are an amateur, right? You're an amateur sports person, but you're getting to experience a particular energy and environment within the confines of your bus. For me, Jesus, many time I would have been probably in tears in that bus, hoping nobody sat beside me so I could have my little moment to myself. Or, I often remember sitting next to Joanna Callaghan or Jim O'Connor, and just leading into each other, going, "This is so fucking cool." This is a very special moment, and that's the difference between that and the outpouring of emotion afterwards, because it's such a release. The bus is mental going back to your hotel. It is phenomenal, like the just sheer joy, and you get to bring family members in, and maybe certain rules go out the window. It's a completely different feeling. It's as special, just different. But I do think that bus trip to Croke Park, going out representing your family, your friends, your partner, your loved ones, it is a bit of a pinch me moment for me anyway.
So, who are better placed to handle the pressure of the occasion, the champions or the challengers on Sunday?
I would go back to look at maybe just how the body language has been. Maybe this championship, it's probably the only thing I can really look at, because Cork have had a bit of a smash every team journey. Galway have had to figure things out. And it's the one thing I will always say about that Galway team. I've hats off to Colm Murray with that environment that he's created. You know, even playing not to their potential, they've always found a way. Nine times out of 10, they found a way to win that game. In particular, you look at that semi-final, and I go back to what I said last week. You had Tipperary who were trying not to lose it, and you had Galway trying to win it. And you know, they passed each other out coming into the final furlong of that game. So I think you've Galway going in there going, we're going up against last year's All-Ireland champions. We know we've kind of had one over them the last number of years. Yes, they beat us in the semi-final last year, albeit probably one of Galway's poorest performances. Not to take away from Cork's victory, but Galway were not themselves that day. And in fairness to Cork, they found a way that day to just get over the line, because that's all they cared about was finally beating Galway in one of the biggest games of the year. So come Sunday, who's going to be able to handle it better? I think that's just all down to the environment that the management team will create over, I suppose, the past week and the weekend coming. I would probably say Cork should be going into it with a huge amount of confidence. They did it last year. They got a monkey off their back as well with beating Galway in the semi-final last year and beating them in the championship this year. So if I had to edge it, I would say Cork potentially should be able to enjoy maybe the moments leading up to the game a little bit more than Galway potentially.
I was listening. It was a really interesting chat you had last week reviewing the semi-finals, and obviously Cork had a handy enough win against Dublin, whereas you mentioned there, Galway just got over the line. They had an absolutely brilliant quarter-final win as well. So will Galway be at that match intensity, or fatigue is the wrong word, but just having that run of matches? Would you prefer to have the run of matches, I suppose, is that cliched way of asking the question, or Cork be a bit more rested coming into it full of confidence?
Look, again, I'd go back to how it depends on how the management have managed the, I suppose, the loading on their players. You know, there's so many eyes on them now through sports science, through GPS, etc. All that data that's being fed back. If you know, I always go, there's one thing about having a GPS monitor or heart rate monitor on you. It's, do you have the right people that are able to read it? Right, the one, are they reading it correctly? And two, do they have the management to actually take the advice of those that can read it correctly? So look, it totally, you know, there's sometimes you love games going into a big game, and then sometimes you like just having no eyes on you. You know, Cork went out very quietly into that semi-final, steamrolled Dublin, who made it difficult for them in the first 15, 20 minutes, missed 2-2 or 2-3. You know, could have been a far more uncomfortable game for Cork. And then they've been nice and quiet for the 2 weeks, you know, outside of the usual interviews that they have to do. So if I was pushed to it, I'd probably be much prefer Cork's journey. Got your championship top in the table, straight through to a semi-final, managed it, got subs on that pitch that absolutely finished the game as strong as the first 15 that started it. Galway, could they become a little bit leggy, a little bit battle-worn? A battle-worn Galway are such a tough team to get past, though, because, you know, one, they have huge talent and ability. Like, they are some of the nicest hurlers you'll see. But two, and this is no offense to Galway people, but they're stubborn. You know, they make it so hard to get past them. You know, so it's Galway might like the fact they've had that extra game. And that could potentially stand to them, but push come to shove, I'd much prefer Cork's journey.
I think stubborn can be a positive in this
Yes, I like that.
context, in this context for sure. Listen, it's Wednesday evening. We don't know the starting 15s at the moment, of course, but looking at the panels and looking how the teams have lined out thus far, where are the key battles going to be? What are the key contests in this final for you, Aoife?
I think, to be honest, I think you actually have to start with number one. You know, I think you have to look at both goalkeepers. I know I'm completely going into goalkeeper union here now, right?
That's completely
But
fine. You take your time with that, Aoife. That's allowed.
I think, in fairness, you know, Sarah Healy came back into it. I did think it took her maybe a game or so to just maybe settle back into it, as well as her defenders just getting back working with Sarah again. And then you have Amy Lee. In goals, who's been there for, geez, I'm trying to remember when Amy came onto the panel, but it's probably, what, you know, 10, 12 years of her experience. And for me, I think how they manage the space, right? So Galway like to have two up top or one up top. Cork always like to have two, and they constantly rotate that. Amy and Mackie just constantly switching, sometimes Orla in. So there's a huge switch around there. It is how can Sarah and Amy manage the space in Croke Park on Sunday will have a huge bearing, coupled with their puckouts and puckout strategies. So it's all well and good having a puckout strategy. One, can they execute it? And two, do they have the outfield players who can accept that game plan? For me, I think Amy just has that little bit more to offer with regards to that puck out. She goes short quite a lot. Semi-final, I think Sarah only went short, was it once, out to the corner back, likes to go long, likes to go 65, 70, but has a good return from going long. So if you were Cork, you're going to try and force her to go short as much as possible, give it to the corner backs, let them have it and see what happens with it. And then on the counter, you're going to say try and get Amy to go as long as she as long. Now she's got a great both have great strikes as well of them. So I think that's going to be a fascinating battle. And who comes out, who can manage that game better from number one. I think the second part of that, again, it's probably up towards the goal side of things. It is Cork's inside forward line, which were destroying everybody in the championship. And I have to give it to Dublin, apologies, in that semi-final, because they kept Amy O'Connor and Katrina Mackey so quiet. It was probably the quietest semi-final of both of them, just with the caliber of players that they are. I thought like Emma Byrne just did such a solid job. So have Galway found out something about how Dublin went about that? And then equally, you flip that over to Dublin, or to, apologies, to Galway, and just how reliant they are on Mallon inside. And with Cork, they've got a few man markers that they can go and sacrifice and put on it. You could imagine the likes of Pam or Maeve going on, and just that would be a phenomenal battle, and how they actually manage that. And I think what was interesting was once Aoife O'Donoghue got into that game in the semi-final, she was a super second option. So it might have been Mallon plus Aoife, or Aoife plus Mallon. I think that's a real interesting ball plus one approach for Galway. So how they manage Mallon, I do think Cork have the defenders that they can just go and sacrifice and just say, you just stick to her and annoy the hell out of her. All day. Equally, I thought she handled the pressure superbly in that semi-final. So I think they're going to be two really, really interesting parts of the field. And then equally, I do think another section of it is who will be able to get more scores from outside the scoring zone. With inside that 45, I think if you look at the semi-final, Galway and Cork both actually scored the majority of their scores from within that 45. So who will have the longer strikers of the ball? Can the likes of Laura Hayes, Saoirse McCarthy from Cork side of it, Aisling Thomson equally, popping the ball over from 65 out? And then can Galway get the likes of Carrie Dolan getting points, not from frees, but from play from the 65 out? So there's a super amount of battles that can go on there, but I certainly think it probably starts with the goals.
A follow-up just on the Galway offensive strategy. And I want to put the score line of 112 to you, because Cork scored 112 in 2021 and 22 in the finals. It wasn't enough. Galway scored 112 in the quarterfinal and semi-final this year to get over the line. Is 112 going to be enough in an All-Ireland final to win you a championship?
It is. Listen, it is, because do you think the other team has a defense that can hold the other team to 111?
Okay, yeah. This boils back down to the one point or more mantra.
It's a point or more, exactly, right? And it is trying to keep, if you're out there and you're goalkeepers, you're just trying to keep that ball out of the net, right? Because that could be the decider. Because you're now expecting 4 points to beat that one score. So I think it could come down to something along those lines, Shane. If one team gets a goal, can the other team come back and get 4 points against, two extremely good, extremely strong defensive structures? So that is how important, and that's why I go back to how either goalkeeper manages the space now out in front of them.
Okay.
or get a goal, will Galway be able to break down Cork four times to get 100% takeaway from four scores to beat that one goal? So it, you know, 112, absolutely. Listen, plenty of All-Irelands were won with less. So it does come down to, if you can keep a clean sheet, it will be the team that potentially just squeezes a goal in, because it's just going to take four big scores to beat it if they can't break down the defence.
But all this talk of strategy and the master plan as well, then who's better placed to win the sideline battle tactically then when you look at the management teams and how these teams have been setting up?
It's a really interesting question, because you've got Colm Murray on one side. He's been there for years now. Is he 7, 8 years? You know, a thorn in my side on plenty of those years. So he's so settled. He knows his players so well, and he knows his bench really well. So I, you know, you'd nearly just say he's been there so many times as the head of the team, that this will be nothing new to him. He'll have plenty of strategies, and he'll know exactly when to pull the levers. But in fairness, Manley on the other side has been in the backroom team. He understands the pressure. It is a different pressure, though, Shane, when it is your decision. You're not advising the decision maker anymore. So I would nearly say Galway or Colm Murray has more experience of it all being on his shoulders to make the right decisions at the right time, and using the advice when he needs to use it. I suppose, you know, Cork on the other side, it is a little bit of a different one, but extremely experienced person. So he should be able to do it. I do think Cork have a good bench. I think they proved that in the semi-final. Like, they came on and the pace did not change. I know Galway or Dublin were pretty much dead and buried at that stage, but you know yourself, sometimes when you're so far ahead, you take the foot off, don't you? It's one of the biggest bugbears of any team, is when you're ahead by so much and you decide to take your foot off the gas. Cork didn't. They changed it, and they brought on three or four players who all got scores on the board. So that to me just shows just how hungry that bench is. They didn't. Dublin were gone at that stage. They were making a statement to Gerard to say, "Hey, I'm here too. Put me on." So look, it's a long answer. I don't even think I've answered. I haven't even really
No,
answered it.
it's a really good insight, and that does kind of paint a picture, I suppose. So, final one for you, Aoife. We can bombard our listeners with all the stats. Cork, most successful team in history, current champions, Galway, 20 finals. They've lost all but four. However, 2021, they did beat Cork. So there's so many permutations going around. When we strip it all back, when it comes down to on the day, who are you siding with? I think I've an inkling that you're going perhaps with Cork, Aoife, but head over heart here.
And in fairness, right? I have gone probably against Cork in a huge amount of the finals over the last number of years, but I've only ever done that on form, and I've just had to look at the form book. Sometimes that goes out for a final, out the window for a final, right? But for me, I am siding with Cork just because of how they've gone about their business in the championship. I actually think I'd only be saying Galway just to say Galway if I didn't go with how the teams performed in the championship. With that said, though, I think Galway are so battle hardened. Like, I just loved how they figured out a way to win. Like, they just figured it out. And what's more impressive was, I don't think that necessarily came from the sideline. You know, he had experienced players on the pitch that figured it out. You know, didn't need a whole lot of instructions, figured it out of how to win this game. So I think it's going to be tight. I really hope they both go out. Yeah, of course, you have a process and you have a game plan. I just hope everybody goes out and can enjoy and see just what two unbelievably talented players and people that will run out onto that pitch on Sunday. I hope everybody gets a chance to actually just see how good they are, and they get their reward. They get to go out and show their skills out there. But for me, I'm siding with Cork simply because of just how they've gone about their business throughout the championship.
Okay, great stuff as always, Aoife. It should be a super Sunday of camogie action. We've the junior final, intermediate final, and then senior final at 5:15 live on RT2 and the RT Player, and indeed on RTE Radio 1's Sunday Sport. We'll have comprehensive coverage of that as well. For now, Aoife, look forward to reviewing the match next week, but I also cannot wait for what hopefully will be a classic. Aoife, thanks so much for chatting to us.
Cheers, Shane.
Game on.
Camogie.